And because we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior, through him, we can come to you with confidence. We come now, my God, begging that you will, through Jesus Christ, be with us as we worship you. Because you are worthy of all the worship and honor and reverence that we are able to give to you. Help us to give you the worship and the reverence that we can. Help us to do so willingly, and help us to do so gladly. My God, we come giving you thanks, not only for the spiritual blessings that you have afforded us in Christ, but the many physical blessings of life. And though, my God, for some of us there are challenges in life, but we recognize that we still have so much to be thankful to you for. Help us to be grateful people, and help us to learn, my God, to count our blessings daily. As we continue in worship, we beg that you will guide our minds, our thoughts, our words, our action, our very attitude, so that the time that is spent here, my God, will not be spent in vain. We beg that you will be with us as we study your word. Grant us understanding of your will, and especially truth that will come out in this lesson may be of help to enlighten us, to encourage us, to challenge us, and to help us to be closer drawn to you, my God. We beg that you will guide the study so that you will be honored. And I beg that as I direct the study of your word in this lesson, that you will be with me. I beg that you will grant me, my God, physical and spiritual strength. I beg that through Jesus the Christ you will grant me sharp memory, so that the things that I've prepared, the things I have studied, I'll be able, my God, to recall them and to relate them in simple ways that everyone can understand. Through Jesus the Christ, I beg for your forgiveness. And, my God, I beg that you will guide me to speak as your oracle, so that at the end, you will be pleased, be honored, be glorified, and we will be helped, be enlightened, and be directed. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We ask that the passage that was read be read again, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1 through verse 6.
And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore.
I like that. You have not passed this way before. We die only once. You have not crossed the Jordan. You have not traveled this road before. We traveled the road of death but once. Remember, crossing Jordan typifies our death. The passage just read, Joshua chapter 3, verse 1.
We could have read to verse
10,
because all of that include instruction relative to crossing Jordan.
The Almighty God, through Joshua, was giving instruction in reference to the Israelite preparing themselves to cross Jordan. And thereby enter the promised land. By this time, the older generation who left Egypt, the men from age about 20, somewhere there, some 603,000, God intended for them to reach the promised land. But they provoked the Almighty God, and they manifested a lot of lack of faith, and the Almighty God killed them off in the wilderness. This new generation had not witnessed or seen some of the great manifestation of the power of God. They were not there when the Red Sea was divided. And therefore, the power and the fact that God is alive were not manifested to them. They are now given instruction to prepare to cross Jordan. They could not cross Jordan just any and any way. We cannot confront death just any and any way. Always remember, crossing Jordan typifies death for us. In the same way, they had to be prepared to cross Jordan. We must be prepared to meet death. Way back there in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. The Almighty God told Ezekiah to set his life in order. But didn't it say house, Brother Mitchell? Yes, it said house, but it meant this top. meant his life, set his house in order. Why, God? You are going to die. And you just cannot afford to die just in any condition or state. Hundreds of years after, in the book of Amos, chapter 4 and verse 12, the Almighty God through Amos said to the Israelites, prepare to meet thy God. That was talking about death. Here again, the implication is that you cannot meet God in death just any and any way. There's something else here, lest I go through this lesson and don't pass this on. One of the lessons that we gather from this message is that here the Israelites coming from Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea. And from crossing the Red Sea, the travel all this. This is the wilderness. Wilderness of Zin, Zedain, and the wilderness of Paran. Sometimes some biblical geographer treat it as one wilderness. They come to Mount Sinai. And somewhere about here, because really, the part of the Red Sea stop about here, and then you have little land space, and they come and they cross, they went over in the land of the Midianite, the Edomite, and the Moabite. Now, it is somewhere, they're going to travel, and somewhere up here now, they're going to cross Jordan to get back into the promised land. But the fact is, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, is that, now, we are talking about 40 years, And one of the things we need to get from this lesson is that the Almighty God was with Israel all the way. All the way. It reminds me of what the New Testament said, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. God was with Israel all the way. Israel was His people. And even here, we're to reach one of the greatest challenges. The River Jordan at this time was nothing but fearful. And as I've said, that the Almighty God had fixed it, that they crossed the Jordan when it was in its full sway. In this spring. Notice verse 4.
Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may...
Let me hear Joshua 3 verse 15.
And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest.
All the time of what?
Harvest.
That means it is spring. And here the Bible tells you that at this time of the year, the Jordan overflow its bank.
Well, God, why do you choose this time when the Jordan was most dangerous?
The Almighty God wants to demonstrate His power to the Israelites. And what better time than when Jordan was at its worst? That's the time the Almighty God going to use. The timing of the crossing Jordan was important. As I said, this time Jordan overflowed its bank. At this time, Jordan expanded from just about 100 feet to 1 mile. At this time of the year, normally Jordan would be about a little longer, wider than the length of this building. If my memory serves me right, this building is somewhere 70, 80 feet, if my memory serves. So at normal time, Jordan was just about as wide as this building is long. At normal time, but in the spring, Jordan its width well over a mile. Its depth, its width, and its current was awesome and fearful. But you know what, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God who was leading the Israelites was in control. Look at verse 5 and verse 10. And Joshua said unto the people,
sanctify yourselves.
Set yourself
for tomorrow.
Aside. Wait, brother. Aside. Make yourself holy. Make yourself peculiar. Sanctify to set apart for special purpose. Sanctify yourself.
For tomorrow. The Lord will do wonders among you.
God going to show you that He is still alive and He is still in control. It is for this reason we have verse 10.
And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you.
What type of God?
That the living God.
Every other God is dead.
Amen.
They were dead then and they are dead now. It was important for Joshua to remind the Israelites that God was alive. For this generation, the now generation that Joshua was addressing, remember Joshua was a part of the old generation. Joshua and Caleb knew God. This young generation didn't know God. May I? For this generation, now being addressed by Joshua, God was distant and was as good as dead. The Almighty God, through their lives, had never done anything really extraordinary. So for them, God was as good as dead, even though they could not pinpoint the date when He was sick and when they buried Him. He was good as dead for this generation. It's like God, they didn't know of God having eyes.
to see their needs.
They didn't know of God having hands to help them when the need is guiding hands. They didn't know of the Almighty God having heart to feel their distresses. For them, God was good as day. To know that God is alive through the wondrous thing, through the miracle, through the extraordinary thing that they are going to see at Jordan. This would give them assurance that when they cross Jordan and will be engaged in some battle to finally, well, we would call that map-up operation. When they cross Jordan to enter the promised land, they were given, they would be given at the entrance of Jordan, the miracles that God would perform, they were going to be given assurance that God is alive. The God that led them. This is also telling us that God will follow us through our Jordan if we are faithful to Him. Preparation. Are we all there? Could we have it again? And don't move from that passage. Even if you go to other passage I called for, always have Joshua chapter 3 ready. Let us have it again.
Verse 10.
1.
Verse 1.
Follow it.
And Joshua rose early in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and they removed from Shittim,
mm-hmm.
and came to Jordan,
mm-hmm.
he and all the children of Israel,
mm-hmm.
and lodged there before they passed over.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded...
Among the things that became a part of their preparation is that leaders of the Israelite people went among the camp. The camp was a large place. By this time, it ran over into millions of people. And remember, they were like nomads, travelers. And the leaders went in the camp to advise them in respect to get ready. The Almighty God always prepared people to be of help to us, to provide guidance. We must make sure that we take that guidance. Read, brother.
And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of
now,
the...
Watch here. The ark going to be mentioned some 7 times in this one chapter. 7 times. Brother Mitchell, what the ark symbolizes? Thank you for asking. The ark symbolizes the church. Wait. The ark symbolize the presence of God and the power of God among the people. We don't have time to read through the entire chapter this morning, but when you read, just count, and you will count that the ark is mentioned. Why the ark? The ark? The ark? Wait. Why so much activities? So, around the ark. Well, the Almighty God is teaching us a lesson about the church through the ark. Remember, the ark represents God's presence among the Israelites, and it represents the power of God among the Israelites. Just like the church. You don't believe me? Well, believe the Bible. You know, Brother Michael Myrie, that gentleman, where's Michael? Day by day, you realize that a lot of people who talk about the Holy Spirit, they don't know Him, they don't believe the Bible. We need to believe the Bible. As you know, this man don't want to admit that God, though a spirit, is a person. So when I take him to the book of Hebrew, where Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God, and I keep every time bringing him back to that verse, and no less than 3 or 4 of the time we spent well over 2 hours together, no less than 3 or 4 times, every time I bring him to the point where God is a spirit. Yes, Mr. Mitchell. And the Bible says God is a person. No, sir. No, sir. We must believe the Bible. You cannot take the Bible for yes when it says something that you like, but when it says something that is contrary to any false belief you have, you act as if the Bible did not say so. I said a while ago that the church, like they are, represents the presence and the power of God among the people. It is for this reason, because the church, let us listen some more about the ark.
And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it.
Move from where you are and
go after it.
Go after the ark. We are coming to make some additional comment on that. In the same way that the ark represents God's presence among the people, the church of Christ represents God's presence among his people in the world. 2 Corinthians, it is chapter 6, verse 15 through 17. Read.
And what concord hath Christ with Belial?
What oneness of Jesus Christ with the devil? Read.
Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
What part does the Christian have with a man or woman who is not a believer? Read on.
And what agreement had the temple of God with idols?
Wait. Brother Jonathan, you remember that the church is the temple of God. So what you're reading there is telling, what agreement is the temple of God, which is the church of Christ, with heathen? Read on.
For ye are the temple of the living God.
You, the Corinthians Christian, and all of you Christians to be found everywhere, are the temple of God. Read now, brother.
As God hath said.
As God hath said,
I will dwell in them.
Wait, brother. I'm going to live in them. Them who? The people who make up the church. Read on.
And walk in them.
I'm going to walk What we are going to see, when the ark moved toward Jordan, it was God who was moving. Remember, the ark was Moses' rod that burned. It's a piece of stick, yet it grew like it was planted. And the Ten Commandments and that. All of that represents and to some extent point to the church. That in the same way you have in the ark the law somewhere. Is it the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and around verse 14? These things write I unto thee. It's talking about the church. He said to the church, writing that I am hoping to pay a visit to you shortly. But Paul says, I am not in control of incidents. So in case my visit is delayed, I'm writing so that you may know that the church of the living God is the pillar, and it is the ground of the truth. Wait, what relationship that have to there? Well, God's guidance for the Israelite, the Ten Commandments, was in the ark. Jesus' guidance for men and women today is in the church. It is the church of Christ to which the God has given the gospel. I said that thou mayst know that the church is the pillar and it is the ground of the truth. So here we have the Almighty God says he's going to do what? Live in the church.
And walk in them.
And I'm going to walk in the church, God says.
And I will be their God.
And I will be their who? God's people, in the same way he was Israel's God. In the same way the Almighty God gave Israel the ark, representing his presence and his power, Jesus Christ has founded his church and make us by his grace to be a part of it. May I? Some of the very same principles that God gave the Israelites as guidance to cross Jordan are some of the very same principles God is giving us today to cross our Jordan. Notice this. Verse 3. Again.
And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it.
May I? So one of the first principles, we spoke a little about preparation. That is, and I may say some more on sanctify yourself. May I remember that the word sanctify and the word holy is from the same word. Sanctified is to be holy. And the Israelite
to be sanctified, to be God's people. This same applies to us. We cannot just live, conduct our lives, our thoughts, our words, any way, and still be God's people. So when the Almighty God was preparing them, the last few hours or days, the Almighty, one of the first things was, sanctify yourself. Put your life, your thought, your conduct in the right place for God to relate and to show them. That was all part of the preparation for them, and it is for us. We cannot afford to get close even to death not having sanctified ourselves with God's help. But the other point we see here, when the Almighty God told them in the verse 3-4 here that has just been read, when you see the priest lift up the ark, you must follow after it. In effect, they were told, in this they are being told to keep their eyes on God. That's right. You see, the ark represents the presence of God. So when he said here in verse 3-4 that when you see, remind the people.
When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it.
That is. You see, that means you must keep your eyes on the ark. Put another way, Brother Mitchell, you must keep your eyes on God if you are going to successfully cross Jordan. That applies to us too. If we are going to confront death, is it today, tomorrow, a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now, you must keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. That must. And you must keep your eyes, not just your eyes on the church, you must make sure you're faithful in the church. Are we all there? In a few minutes, I'm going to show that the Israelites need the ark for direction. So, as I've said, the same principle given to the Israelites in crossing Jordan. Keep your eyes on God. Don't take your eyes off the ark, because the ark represents God. When the ark moves, you move. Whatever direction the priest take the ark, that's where you must cross through. You get the point? Brothers and sisters, may I when God wanted to make sure that the Israelites did not take any wrong direction crossing the Jordan, because remember, the Jordan at this time was in its peak. It was overwhelmingly terrible and fearful at this time.
In fact, I am moved by the Redan brother.
And there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure.
Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, is that symbolic? Yes. That space between the Israelites as a people and the ark that represent God is also important for us. Read on. I'm still commenting on that, but read on a little further.
About 2,000 cubits by measure.
Mm-hmm.
Come not near unto it.
Come not near unto the ark.
That he may know the way by which he must go.
My brothers and sisters, this is important. Brother Mitchell, did you say the ark symbolized the church? Yes. Without the ark borne by the priest. Previously, the ark, when it was to be moved, was borne by the Kohathites. That is some Levites. But this time it is borne by the priests. The Almighty God said, if you want to know the way, am I right, brother?
Come not
that
near.
You are to go, just watch where the ark is going. We cannot know the proper way of life to walk. We cannot know how to live to please God without the church and the gospel. And that was some of the point here. Where you want to know the way you are to go. You are to follow the ark. We have to follow the church, hoping that the church is teaching what is right. Because that is right. You see, but if the church is not teaching what is right, it means the ark that went the wrong direction. That's right. But the ark directed by God. So watch the ark. You need the ark for direction. And we need the church of Christ and the gospel of Christ for direction. We have read to you 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14. That the church is the pillar and it is the ground of the truth. Jesus Christ said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. The Bible tells us that we have, in a sense, sanctified ourselves by obedience to the truth. Every step of the way, we need the truth. As we travel through this lesson, you will notice that so much of the activities surround the ark. The ark. And that's the way God meant for the church to be. That lack of the activities of our life must involve worship, serving God, the work of the church. So watch or keep your eyes on God was. Verse 8, this business of keeping your eyes on God. Verse 8 also.
And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan.
Yes, wait, this. When you come to the brink of the water, Jordan, you shall stand still. That is, the priests, they are lifted. or they would have it rest and two pole and so many priests hold one side just like you do a coffin. You see. And God said that Jordan was terrible at this time. The Almighty God says, when you come to the brink, you must stand still. Read.
Stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God.
Yes, come and listen what God has to say to you. Read.
And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you.
This is how you are going to know that God is among you.
And
these many years that Moses led you, and these many years that I have taken over from Moses, you have not seen yet the real power of God demonstrated. Now God is going to show you that He's alive, He's the living God. Read.
And that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites.
God is assuring you that whatever challenge you meet when you cross Jordan, God will be there with you. Read.
The Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Gerizzites
Read.
And the Amorites and the Jebusites.
Read.
Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you in Jordan.
The ark must do the leading. You cannot go before it. You must follow after it. Read.
Now therefore, take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet
Can
of the priests...
Can you turn off that phone? God. It rang three times. I would hope that when it rang the first time, you would have done something so that it does not ring three times. Read, brother.
And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan.
Yeah, brothers and sisters, many of us take for granted. Why Joshua had to tell them that the mighty God was Lord of all the earth? Because they lived in an environment of polytheism, many gods. It's not a matter that each nation has its God. Egypt, from where some of them were coming, and the surrounding nations, the Midianites, the Edomites, the Moabites, they had many gods. Moses just had to tell them that the Almighty God that is leading you to the promised land is the God not just of this geographical location, He's the God of the entire world. They needed to know that. We also, brothers and sisters, we need to let our faith spread our hands. When we hear of evil men and women, is it Taliban or the ISIS or whoever? When we hear any group of people, any person, in spite of whatever impression they may give, that they are all powerful, you must always remember the Almighty God is in charge.
Amen.
Because sometimes we get afraid. The gunmen around, all this much, they are not in charge. When the Almighty God is ready, He will remove them. And you know what? The Almighty God have hundreds of options to deal with them. So we must remember that God is God. The Israelites needed this assurance. They had confronted the Midianites, the Ephraimites, and others on their way. They had confronted the Philistines. They needed to understand that it matters not what was going on. God was in charge. Read, brother.
The Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above.
Who's going to rest in Jordan?
The Lord of all the earth
shall do what?
Shall rest in the waters of Jordan.
So God can swim.
you know, brother, it's the ark, you know. It's the ark. Because that's where God is. Just as he tells you, he's going to live in the church. How he does that, Brother Mitchell, in your life, in my life, if I'm a be, are we all there? And he's going to walk in the church. Where am I go, Brother Mitchell? When you go to work, he goes with you. And you know what? He wants to use you. He wants to work in your life for his own glory. When you go to work and there's somebody there to be enlightened, God wants you to be the person to enlighten that person. Be that you give them a track, or you invite them to church, or you keep your eyes and ears open for when there's an opening, that person may have a problem, an issue, a need. God wants you to be alert for the likelihood of prospective convert. He will walk in them. Are we all there? That's the church. He will live in them. God says what he will do in the Jordan.
And the Lord of all the earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan.
Read on.
That the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above.
God going to rest there. That the water, in the same way the Red Sea was divided, God going to divide Jordan. But they weren't there to see the Red Sea. Now they're going to see God demonstrate his power. Read on.
That come down from above, and they shall stand up, that they shall stand upon and heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan,
as the priests that bore the ark came to the edge of Jordan,
and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water.
But brother, you know, I like this. The Israelites had never seen. The priests were not God, but they represent God. Oh, what an awesome sight. At the feet of the priests that bore the ark represent God, as their feet touch fearful Jordan, terrible Jordan. Jordan that overflowed its bank. It was deep. It was awesome. As the feet of the priest touched the water. What happened, brother?
That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an
above
even.
Above here doesn't mean from up here. The water which came down from above, it was from a higher ground. The water run from up Warwick. From up Red Hills. And come down above. The water run from up there. That's what it means. Not reach, brother. What happened?
And rose up upon an heap every very far from the city. Adam, that is beside Zeratan.
That's a place. That's not Adam. The first time. Adam is a place. Read.
And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off.
in the salt sea failed and was cut off.
And the people passed.
Wait, the very presence of God brings so much change and so much drama. The power of God was displaying for the Israelites. They were crossing Jordan. God was assuring them, and when you and I reach over Jordan, if we are faithful Christians, we will be able to say like Paul, I am not ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. We will not be afraid of death. Read on.
And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan.
You all hear that? They stood firm. You know, it was important that those priests had faith. That's right. We need to have faith. When the terrible Jordan on one side and another side, they had to really have faith. Because what happened to Peter could have happened to them. Remember, Peter attempted to walk on the water, and he did it for perseverance. But then he took his eyes off Jesus Christ. Huh? Read, brother.
And the priest that bare the ark of the covenant with the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan.
Read.
And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan.
What a blessing. We need to close right here. There was another instruction. Not only watch or keep your eyes on God, that is on the ark. The other instruction was follow God. Follow the ark. You see, the first point that we have been on was keep your eyes on the ark, implied in when you see the priest lift up the eye, you must leave your place. That is, follow God. The ark represents God. Then the second point is, keep your eyes on God. The same can be used to guide our lives. Follow God. Go after it. In verse 3. Not only were they informed to watch God, but they were also told to follow God. When the ark moved, they should move. Because when the ark moved, it was God who was moving. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, there are times in our lives when we have to leave our place and go after Jesus' direction. Remember, the plain instruction is there. When you see the priest lift up the ark, leave your place. A lot of time we have to leave our comfort zone in order to carry out God's will. And that is one of our problems. Leave your place. And they had to stay some 300 feet behind the ark. Am I right, brother? It's supposed to be somewhere there in verse 4.
How much?
2,000 cubits.
That's about 300 feet. What does that symbolize, Brother Mitchell? Not only should you watch or keep your eyes on God, not only should you follow God, that is the ark that represents God, you must honor or reverence God. I need to just make a few statements and close here. I had intended to say more on this, but time. That keeping that distance between you and the ark represents God. 300 feet, you must not come closer. That symbolized the fact that God was righteous and holy, pure, and the Israelites were sinners. In spite of the fact that God sanctified them to be His people, they and God were not equal. The distance symbolized that they and God were not equal and that they were inferior in holiness, in righteousness, in purity. They must keep that distance. In fact, all the emblems we see, the rituals and the precepts, all of these were employed to emphasize the holiness of the Almighty God. Keep your distance. That means show respect to God, show reverence to things of God, worship. All that is involved. Keep your distance. Because you and God are not equal. Show respect to the Word of God. Show respect to the ark that represents God. To the church that God will live in and walk in. The church is the body of Christ. In the same way the Israelites were called upon to show respect to the ark, Christians are called upon to show reverence and respect to the body of Christ. If for no other reason than the fact it is the body of Christ. We cannot, when we are going to work for a day or two, inform somebody there. Are we all there? But we will be away from the church for weeks, and when we come back, it's business as usual. Why is it that I feel I need to? In fact, even if you are the boss, that's what I notice. Even if somebody, I won't be in for these 3 days. But with the church, just do what we like and what we want with the church. Brothers and sisters, your attitude towards the church is your attitude towards Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that. When Paul persecuted the church, when Jesus Christ confronted him, Jesus Christ said, "Why you persecute me? Why you persecute me?" Whatever way we treat the church, that's the way we treat Christ. Whatever way the Israelites treat the ark, that's the way they treat God. That's why, for the purpose of respect, reverence, honor, worship, they needed to stay that distance. And that distance would say to the Israelite that we and God are not the same. Let us show reverence and let us show respect.